Welcome to the official catch-up. It's myself, Chris, and today I'm joined again by Ben Grant. How are you doing, Ben?
Not too bad, Chris. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, it's been a while, actually, as I had to ask you before we came on. This will be obviously a quick one, but we've had, obviously, the news, and as most people will know about how the West of Scotland is going to shape up with 20 Premier teams and the conferences. When we last spoke, we were a wee bit concerned about the shape, but realistically, I think everyone's quite happy with it now.
Well, I guess the thing was that a lot of teams are saying that they're moving over based on it being four conferences, so you're going to get a chance to kind of get out of your conference potentially and then get into the top tier six, as it would be. But it seemed like the SFA didn't quite fancy that, and the SFA have said that it's got to be a top tier of tier six, or a top league at tier six, and then conferences can be done below that. So I think some of the smaller clubs and the lower down clubs are a wee bit disappointed. But I mean, for the Premiership teams just now, I mean, it's a good result. You're going to a 20 team league. It's going to be 38 games, which is quite a lot for juniors, because I mean, just now we only play 30, so it's quite a jump. But I think a few teams lower down are definitely disappointed, but I say the winners are really the ones that are at the top.
Yeah, of course they would be disappointed if they were maybe expecting, you know, like a Auchinleck or a Pollock, or even a Kilwinning. They're probably, from the financial side of things, they're probably a wee bit disappointed. But certainly, even from a fan point of view, it's kind of disappointing. But no, I'm quite happy how it's shaped up. Obviously, we've got your best sort of West junior sides in there, plus Drumchapel United, who we've kind of talked about signing guys like Willie Dyer. Then obviously Glasgow Uni, Bonnyton, obviously moving from the south of Scotland, and St Caddox, who I don't really know too much about, but I believe they were in sort of a Paisley District League before.
Yeah, they were an amateur team with a really good youth setup, I think, as well. So they've got a really good youth pathway set up there, and they have took the jump to move to, I guess, the West of Scotland Football League now. So yeah, it's definitely a interesting time. I think, my own personal opinion, I like the idea of the four conferences, because it was going to give us a chance to maybe play some teams we would normally play. And I think the other thing as well, some other teams are a wee bit disappointed about, is I think they thought it was going to be kind of like regionalised conferences rather than kind of based on almost like seeding, if you like. I think Adrossan, they've been quite vocal about the fact that they're the only Ayrshire team in their conference, and they thought they were going to get a lot more kind of Ayrshire ties. But
yep.
Which I think I can see why they're frustrated, because I think they were expecting something that's turned out differently. But I mean, Adrossan's league as it stands, the League One that they're in, and they finished what, top of that league. They basically had pretty much all the kind of Glasgow teams. I think the other one was Girvan, which is an Ayrshire team. But again, Girvan's a fair trek from Adrossan. It's not a short journey. And so I don't really know why they're too upset about it, because it's not really any different to what they've got just now. Just, I guess, it's that thing of they were expecting something else and it's turned out differently. But from our perspective, Kilwinning, again, we're keeping all our derbies, at Irvine Meadows, Beath, Kilburnie, all these kind of local games that we like to get. We're still going to play Auchinleck and Pollock and Clydebank, and all these games that are always good, tasty matches. So it's probably worked out well for the top teams, as I said. But it'll be interesting, because I think the thing will be now is looking at like what relegation and promotion. That'll be something that'll be of interest, to think, to everyone, especially the Lowland League as well, because how it's going to work for the Lowland League, because obviously before we thought maybe conferences moving into the Lowland League, but now it's going to be that top tier, presumably getting a kind of promotion spot or playoff into to play against an East Region team to get into the Lowland League. So that'll be added excitement, a bit more spice when football starts again.
Yeah, I put out a tweet obviously mentioning we still think the South Challenge Cup's going to be mandatory. We're not really sure on membership of the West Juniors yet. I believe there's a meeting this week, and I'm probably sure that'll get discussed.
Yeah, so I think it's looking like, as you say, a 38-game season for the top tier. So I would expect not a lot of top tier teams to take that membership up and to play in the Junior Cup, because you're just going to have too many games. If you add in a cup run in the South Challenge Cup, you're going to be looking at probably what 40-odd, 45 games potentially if you make it to the final. So I think from a club point of view, playing the Scottish Junior Cup is not a good move. It's certainly something that could win, and we've said already we're not going to be taking up our membership and we're not going to be playing. A lot of our teams are starting to come round to that idea too, and have kind of publicly said that they're not going to be taking up their membership. So it's what it is. I think people want to preserve that Junior Cup because of the heritage and all that kind of stuff. But I think just now we're moving to something new, fresh, progressive league. Let's kind of leave those things in the past. Let's move on and get on to getting on.
Yeah, and obviously I mentioned some of the games that I'd be excited. Certainly we've talked about, obviously, Celtic and Kilwinning. You know, they've been tasty games in the past. But one I've failed to mention, actually, is Vale of Leafin versus Vale of Leaven. How confusing would that be for a...
That's... Imagine being a commentator on that game. That'd be something else.
Yeah, because even on their wiki pages, I believe it says, you know, not to be confused with. So if they ever face that would be a bit of a cracker. And as you say, rightfully, a nightmare for any of the fans or the commentators on that one, I think.
That's it. I think that would be a bit of a tongue twister for anyone who's trying to commentate that game, for sure.
I lazily usually call Vale of Leafin Vale of Leaving anyway, because there's a Leaving in Fife, so sometimes I'm guilty of that, so even myself.
I bet they get upset to get their own name.
Said it too many times now, I think people just take it as my accent or whatever, but is there any games up, well, apart from obviously Kelly, you know, is there any teams that you're, even East of Scotland, that you would love to see Kilwinning and play?
I think, yeah, Kelly is a big one. We've had plenty of ties in the past in the Scottish Junior Cup. Obviously, Bonnyrigg, another good side. I'm trying to think what else. I've had a few games against Thornton Hibs. I don't know where they come into it, if they're going to be involved in the East. Are they part of the East region?
Yeah, I think so. They're joining this year.
Yeah. So we've had a few games against them in the past in the Scottish Cup, so and they've had victories and we've had victories, so that'll be good. But I guess, again, it's that thing of just really looking forward to seeing what happens. I think the thing about going back to the 20-team Premiership, is it, I guess, I don't know if they're going to call it a Premiership or not, or what the titles are going to be, but obviously, I think originally it came out that Arvel, Cumbernauld and Blantyre weren't going to get promoted, and they were going to have to be, it was going to be a 17 with Bonnyton, but it's good to see they've come to some senses and allowed Darvel, Cumbernauld and Blantyre a chance to come up and save, you know, Ben, Barbara, Glenn, Kirkintilloch and Baltroon, I guess, as well, probably in amongst the relegation fight. So I think from that perspective, it's good that the teams are getting their chances to come up. I've seen Shorts getting quite upset about it, but I don't think Shorts were going to be anywhere near getting promoted anyway, so I'm not really sure why they were getting too upset about the kind of setup, but certainly good to see Darvel. I mean, for those who don't know, but Darvel, they look like they've had somebody kind of come in and it's got a bit of money and they're putting a bit of money and they really did invest to try and get out of the Championship into the Premiership, which, for all intents and purposes, they have done. So that'll be exciting to see how Darvel come up and how well they get on in a top tier of kind of, well, I guess it's a, stop calling it junior, doesn't it? You're trying to remember not to say junior football now, but the top tier of kind of West Region football will be interesting, because we've played Darvel in a friendly and we finished 3-2, so it's quite close in a friendly earlier on the season and stuff. So they look like a capable squad. They'll probably pick up players from other Premiership teams, because they say it sounds like they've got a bit of money behind them and really kind of keen to kick on, and got a good setup down there as well. So It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, and there is I kind of touched on this when I spoke to Delaware, the Shire manager, but I do believe that there will be team players now based out west that will probably be looking to move to the West of Scotland rather than maybe the East or the Lowland League. I think the West of Scotland will pick up players. Not to say that they wouldn't have previously, because there is a lot of good quality and now they're part of the pyramid. I think it's more exciting for some players that would have probably preferred East of Scotland Lowland League before.
Yeah, I think so. I think I can think of a few players that are playing their football maybe in the East just now, that are kind of predominantly from the West, and same even up north. And kind of, if you maybe even look at like kind of League Two, kind of Lowland League teams that are kind of further north, I think there's that as the potential as well, that some of the League Two players that are maybe playing in these kind of lower down teams of the League Two might fancy their chances of maybe dropping down two leagues, because their money might not be that much different, and they can be at home, for example, rather than having to travel and stuff like that. So yeah, there's potentially pick up some good players from that side of things, and I think there'll be some guys from the East be looking to potentially move back towards West teams now that we're running the pyramid.
I know it's tough to predict the future. We still don't even know what's going to go on with lockdown, if it's, you know, going to continue or not. Yeah. But are you expected to be kind of similar to the West Junior Premiership this season? Are you kind of expecting Auchinleck and the likes of yourself to be the top teams, or is it just a complete unknown at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think from our perspective, we've probably punched a wee bit above our weight this year. We had a pretty new squad. I think we brought in 10 players this summer, or last summer rather. So we probably weren't expecting to be anywhere near the top. I think if we kind of consolidated our position in the Premiership, would have been a good season for us. We're moving park from Abbey Park to Buffs Park and stuff, and I think we did kind of go a lot further than we would. So I don't see any reason why we can't be up there challenging. I think it's looking like we're going to can bring back most of that squad from last year, maybe add a few players in to help with squad rotation, not necessarily squad rotation, but kind of bolster the squad depth and make sure we've got some players in. Because I think that's where we struggled. I think when it got to kind of November, December, with injuries and suspensions started to land, we struggled a little bit because we didn't really have the depth of squad to really bring in. I think if we can maybe upgrade a few positions, perhaps we will be in a good place. I think Talbot, they're going to probably strengthen again. They've got this ability to bring in the best players. I mean, they have that, the carrot of the Senior Scottish Cup for a lot of players who are wanting to play and test themselves at a higher level. So I would expect Talbot will get stronger. I can't imagine Pollock will sit in the laurels much this year. They finished, what, fourth this year. They'll get stronger. Clyde Bank have always had aspirations of being a senior team, so they're getting that kind of, they're getting that wish, if you like, coming through the pyramid, and they'll probably have real aspirations to kick on again and get up the leagues and get back to where the old Clyde Bank were. So I'm not expecting an easy ride at all, but I think I don't see anything different in terms of our squad. I think we should be up there. Will it be harder? Absolutely, but I think Chris will do a good job recruiting again and bring in, say, the players we need, and we'll hopefully just kick on. But obviously the difficulty isn't right now, we don't really know what's going to happen, so it's kind of really hard to plan. I've seen teams on social media and stuff like that announcing kind of signings and contract extensions and all that, but it's very hard to really, I think, do that personally. I don't know what your thoughts are on that kind of thing, but I find it really strange that you can decide a player's got a new contract, but you don't really know when football's going to kick off. I don't know how the contracts are made up, but maybe there's some sort of caveat in there that it doesn't start until football restarts, sort of thing. But yeah, I find that strange, so who knows.
Yeah, it was one of the things I've touched on recently as well with some of the guys, Andy Williamson, the club secretary at Shire. I mean, I think from their point of view, they're, you know, they've got obviously a few boys signed up for whenever the, you know, next season is, but as far as I'm aware, you know, they've had to sort of, you know, let guys go because the future of the club is at stake. Yeah. You know, they're committed obviously and show a certain bit of loyalty to the players that have been loyal to them, but you have to be sensible. If football is not going to get played anytime soon, then you have to think about the finances and the future of your football club. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't know, you know, I have seen even the East of Scotland teams and other teams obviously make signings and renew contracts and whatnot, but I don't know the ins and outs behind it. As like you said, there might be a caveat that they don't pay until football's continued. But yeah, I honestly think the market for footballers when we do eventually get back to playing is going to be massive, and there's going to be, I think, even league quality available, and it's going to be interesting between the West, the East, and the Lone to who's going to get in there first. We could completely see a brand new balance of the top teams, if you will, if it's a case of who gets in.
And I think the other thing you'll find is that South Challenge Cup will be a good marker for everyone to see where these West Junior teams are, West Region teams are at, because if you get drawn against an East Region team and go back to playing kind of those matches, you'll get a sense quite quickly who are the top teams in the West against the top teams in the East and how maybe that will shape up. So that'll be exciting, I think, the Scottish Cup from the South Challenge Cup point of view. I think that'll add a good bit of spice to that really it's a chance to set your stall out and just show people what you're all about.
Yeah, and I picked up on a point someone had mentioned about the Highland League, like they thought it was better than the Lowland, and people probably thought I was taking the piss from my tweet, but the Highland League did beat a lot of the Lowland League teams in the Scottish Cup this season. Obviously, the Lowland League team's probably done a wee bit better in terms of how far they got, like to BSC, Bonnyrigg, East Kilbride and stuff like that, but I think it's always interesting, the comparisons between the quality. I think it's always hard as well to tell, especially in one-off cup competitions, but It depends on the result, obviously. Like, you saw at Auchinlecht thrash Celtic Hearts, but if you asked me, I would say, you know, Auchinlecht were fantastic that night. I wasn't expecting, obviously, but, you know, it's like, I would probably argue that Celtic didn't turn up on the day. You get that in cup games as well, so it's very difficult, but I think you're right. I think it will be interesting when these sort of teams face each other.
Yeah, because I think certainly from if I was looking at it from a West point of view, I would really like to see our West teams go out there and prove their point and just prove to the East that we're no mugs and we're really here to play. And that's the thing I always think about when it comes to South Challenge Cup, because I'm excited about that cup. I think the league itself is exciting, but it's not going to be much different from us. But the South Challenge Cup is something that really really interests me greatly. I think it looks like it's got the makings of a good competition. Brings back all those old kind of old matches that we miss from kind of the Scottish Cup days as well. So definitely one I'm looking forward to play at some point.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping for Yoker away, like, just so I can shout, "I'm no fair Yoker." So I don't know if you know that reference.
I don't. What's that, Ian? What's the joke there?
Lummy. Let me show. I don't know if you're...
Right, okay. I don't really, to be honest. Now and again, dip in and out of it, but I wouldn't say I'm a regular watcher. Never really got it, but yeah, fair enough, I get it.
They're getting that if I'm ever through in Yoker, like... I don't like I've ever been to Yoker, actually. I might be wrong about that, but...
You're not missing much, put it that way, don't worry.
But no, moving on. Obviously, the sort of other thing we've been covering is the SPFL and everything that's going on there. Obviously, the latest news, Rangers have apparently provided their evidence, and the way is, I don't think the SPFL were afraid of what's been said, basically.
Yeah, it looks like they've come out and said that they had a good glance over the document, and it doesn't seem like one bit of evidence they're concerned about. So I don't really know. I've seen Rangers have put out a tweet in the last couple of hours saying we will not be silenced or something like that. I don't really know. They've kind of come out quite aggressive from their own club Twitter account, which seemed a bit strange. But yeah, I mean, I was joking this morning on Twitter with Moza about if Rangers do have solid evidence, I feel like John Brown on the steps at Ibrox just before the things went wrong. I mean, show us the deeds, you know, we were on the steps of Ibrox to say it was looking for the deeds of Ibrox and stuff. I feel like that, saying that to Rangers right now, if you've got something you think is solid, get it shown and get it told out. But it doesn't sound like what they've got at the moment is that concerned for anyone.
In fairness to Rangers, I think that's been the SPFL's reaction and a lot of the pundits like Michael Stewart and obviously Chris Sutton. But yeah, I think if it goes to independent investigation, then I'll truly believe that they have signed. But they were mentioning things like, obviously, you know, SPFL would have to pay Sky back money and all this sort of stuff. But for me, it's a wee bit embarrassing from Rangers. When we first had this conversation, it was like a massive revelation in Scottish football. And now it's kind of just turned into, you know, a popcorn fart, really.
It seems interesting because they did like some sort of investigation as well that kind of seemed like it wasn't really any problems that came out of that. And then Rangers have obviously today come out with the supposed dossier, which doesn't seem to have anything more to add to it really. So I don't really know where they're going with this one, but yeah, I think we need to move on and get back to league reconstruction talks and get that sorted out sooner rather than later and let people plan ahead.
What have they wrote in them 200 pages, by the way? 200 pages talk. I mean, what? That's mental. I think it was Old Firm Facts and I'd said that was bigger than like about, you know, a few books that have been bestsellers or whatever.
That's it. I think they had so many points and it's like not one of the points seems like a concern. Which what's in it if there's nothing of anything earth shattering and concerning for the SPFL? I mean, that's the thing I don't understand is what is actually in there, because it just doesn't seem like there's anything
substantial.
It seems a strange one, but you know, it's like Rangers are the gift that keeps on giving. You know, it always feels like just when they were kind of starting to settle down and be a football team again, they're back with some controversy, shall we say?
Well, we won't be bullied into silence, mate. You know,
that's the part. That's what came out on Twitter about. I think just before I came on here, I noticed it, and I was like, God, that's quite embarrassing. Like to tweet that from your club account, like as if it's some sort of powerful statement. But that just plays into the hands of the fans, doesn't it? That all that does is it kind of plays to the loyal teddy bears, if you like. I don't think it helps. Helps anything at all if I'm just going to start prodding the bear. Not to use a nice proverb, but it's a strange one. Very, very strange. We'll
obviously find out more. I think they're going to provide the dossier to other clubs. I don't know. The latest is basically if there's something to it, then they'll do the investigation. But at the moment, I think there's nothing to it, which is a wee bit embarrassing on Rangers' side, I would suggest.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think if there's no much content in there that really makes a difference, then A, they've wasted their time, and B, it looks really bad for them. But we'll wait and see. Hopefully they have something if it is true, but I'm starting to wonder now that if they really have anything of concrete, solid proof.
Yeah, and that kind of annoys me too, because when we've done that podcast and discussed that, and I think even on the guys at Sports Round and everything were sort of sucked in, but it just feels like an absolute, as you mentioned, like a waste of time. If a complete distraction for whatever's going on at Rangers. I know a lot of people mention finance and stuff like that. I don't know if that's the key to it all, but you've got to really question the reasonings behind it, and if it's to do with finance, if it's to do with getting Celtic the title. But I don't know, mate. It's just like you said, strange.
Yeah, it's an odd situation, but hopefully it'll get sorted out one way or another, and we can just get back to talking about the football again, because I think these kind of things always linger on and end up being bigger than they actually are. And all we want at the end of the day is football back. I mean, that's the important thing for everyone. I guess everyone's health first and foremost, but from a footballing point of view, just getting the football back in the park and getting letting us watch sport again, I think that's important. You're going to see the Bundesliga looks like it's going to start next week, so I have to be buying Germany tops. Supporting the team. I've been a Bayern fan for 10 years, so I've always liked Bayern. So I'm not going to be coming out. I think people just think I'm some sort of glory hunter now, but I've actually followed Bayern for a while. So I'll be watching Bayern win the league. Hopefully that'll be the main thing.
Well, I've been to Germany. I went to the old Allianz. Well, what was it called? The Olympic Stadium. Sorry.
Yeah.
The old Bayern. Now I like Bayern as well. To be honest, they're a class team. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, good team. I've always been a sort of fond of Hamburg. They're in the second, right. You know. So,
yeah.
Or Bundesliga 2, if you will. So.
I see.
But I've not been a massive fan of German football, to be honest. I'm more into the Italian game and I like the French game, but. Yeah, any football that's not Belarusian, you know.
Well, that's it. I think personally, I've been I've always seemed to go German teams in FIFA, so I think pretty much that's the thing I've always thought about, is because I've liked the FIFA team, the German teams in FIFA. Well, more players will support a German team. I've got a wee bit of a soft spot for Hertha Berlin. I went to Berlin last year and I picked up a Hertha Berlin top, so because they're playing blue and white stripes, and I'm a Cali fan, so all that as well. So I'll watch out for Hertha's results, but Bayern are my team for sure.
Yeah, and I was the time I was over in Germany, they had just been building Hertha Berlin Stadium, you know, the one that I played the World Cup final.
That's right, yeah.
Hertha Berlin have a class team, to be fair. I was a bit surprised at how good they were.
Well, that's it. They've got a lot of kind of guys that you probably are kind of bubbling away that are going to be maybe bigger players and move on to bigger things at some point. But yeah, definitely got a good side. I mean, that's the same. I mean, I was talking about this the other day. I guess we're digressing to the official Bundesliga catch up here. But I was talking to one of my mates about the Red Bull team and maybe Leipzig, is it? And in Bundesliga, and they've got like three absolutely class defenders who will play for like a Madrid or a Barcelona or a United or a City or a Liverpool. I mean, they'll move on because they are absolutely like class players already, and they're just probably waiting. That's the same with a lot of German teams. They've always got these kind of players that are coming through and will always probably move on at some point because they've got they're well more talented than the team they're at just now, sort of thing.
And also, I think money's an aspect to it as well.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Because, I believe in the German league, it's kind of obviously a bit different than the Premier League. I believe they share all the TV money amongst the clubs. It's not just the winners and stuff and that. And I believe it's cheaper. You can go to a Bayern Munich game for, what, €15 or something like that?
Yeah, it depends where you want to sit, yeah. But yeah, definitely. It's always, I think, the German football is all kind of geared towards the fans rather than kind of the corporate kind of side of things. And the Premiership, I think that's the thing about the EPL, is always it's geared towards the money people rather than the fans at the bottom. So yeah, definitely. I think I'm looking forward to that Germany stuff coming back, because that'll be good just to get some sort of football back on the TV and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a bonus, because I think, like, for example, Holland have said they won't be playing football till there's a vaccine. So I think if the Eredivisie are saying that just now, I don't see how, like, for example, the Lowland League or even up to the SPL can be playing football. And if that's what, like, Holland are thinking, I mean, I don't think us coming back to playing football anytime soon is going to happen until we get, like I say, it sounds like a vaccine and getting on. So a little bit of German football would be nice to watch just in the meantime, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, not wanting to go into politics and all that sort of stuff, but I think Germany, from stats anyway, I don't know what's realistic and what's not, but from what I've heard, certainly Germany have probably handled the whole thing a wee bit better than the UK.
No, that's it. I think it's getting a wee bit kind of hot-headed and a bit touchy over here in the UK. So yeah, I think the way other countries are handling it are probably much better than ours, but we'll see what happens.
Well, it was just a quick catch-up today. It's always great speaking to you, Ben, and obviously catching up with the West of Scotland, and I'm sure there'll be more news on the Rangers dossier and hopefully reconstruction soon, and then we'll obviously get the other boys back on the pod. But good to speak to you, mate. Obviously, thanks for coming on again. I think you're more than a guest now. We'll add you to the team and whatnot.
That's it. I'm going to change my Twitter bio tonight to official catch-up podcaster.
Brilliant, mate. No, keep safe, pal, and all the best, all right?
Nice. Same to you, mate. Cheers.